Levi Yitzchak. The Levi is the Kusa Levi, the holy defender of Israel, who loves Jew with all every Jew with all his heart. So he needs a Baal Tokeah. He needs someone to blow the shofar for him. And to be a Baal Tokeah by Rav Levi, he can't just be a simple Jew. So the whole town is lining up. Who's going to get to blow the shofar from the Heilige for the Heilige of Levi Yitzchak? So everyone's going to the mikvah. You have the first guy going there. He does all these Kabbalistic meditations, the Yud and the K and the Vav and the K of the shofar. And it's amazing. Nah, it's not it. Next guy gets up there, blows the shofar. You don't call me, I'll call you. And it goes and goes, goes. Nobody's able to do it. It doesn't hit their soul. Finally, the last guy gets up there. Who is it? Maishala, the holy water carrier. Simple Yid gets up there. Pure and beautiful. Everyone's blown away. That's the guy. It's amazing. But the thing is, Rav Levi Yitzchak needs to know something. What's your kavana? What's your intention? When you're doing that, when you're blowing that shofar, he's a little ashamed. He says, nah, don't worry about it. Says, no, tell me. He says, okay, you want to know the truth? I'll tell you the truth. I have 7 daughters. I need to marry them off. And I don't have a dime to my name. He's involved, so I need a Kaddish Baruch Hu's help. So when I'm blowing that shofar, I'm just davening a pure and simple tefillah to Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that's the lesson, that the shofar can break all of the heavens. It can mamash connect that to Kaddish Baruch Hu if we're pure and simple. But once we start getting complicated with all these complicated thoughts, it doesn't work. You gotta just take that pure and simple prayer. This would be Nachman Mibreslov. That what's the main problem with our tefillah? You know, we all walk in distracted. We all have a million thoughts in our head. Why? Why are we so distracted? It's very simply because we don't believe be'emunah shlema, meaning with an internalization that we're omed lefnei melech, that we're mamash standing before Hashem. That's something that every single day we need to find a way to remind ourselves of. And just like a simple, pure baby, cry to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, talk to a Kaddish Baruch Hu as often as you can, but especially in the Shmoneh Esrei, in our tefillah, pure and simple. That's your Gadol story of the day. I'll leave you with one parsha thought. Another simple, but I think really something powerful you can take with you for the rest of the year, and we'll reference it. So in this week's parsha, we have a litany of curses. It's really sad. It goes through all these terrible things. And at the end, like two-thirds into it, the Torah tells us, why is it that all these curses happen upon us? So why is the Kaddish Baruch Hu doing this to us? What do we do wrong? Because you didn't serve Hashem from joy. Okay, so it's very nice. But it's kind of strange, because it's kind of like right in the middle, not even in the middle, towards the end, it said, by the way, you know why all this bad stuff is happening to us? Because you weren't happy. It just seems kind of random. It should have said from the beginning, like, if you're not happy serving Hashem, then all this bad stuff's going to happen. Instead, it goes all this whole list, and then in the end, it kind of like mentions the reason. It's weird. Anybody else think it's weird? It's weird. So Foreman asks that Sha'ila, but the truth is it's a setup. Because if you've been studying Dvarim closely, you've realized that it's not true. That this theme of serving the Kaddish Baruch Hu through Simcha has already come up twice in Sefer Dvarim, right? Earlier by the Bikurim and by Meiser. Alright, just 2 chapters earlier, the Torah told us that you need to bring the Bikurim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch simcha. And the Maaser, you need to do it from a place of joy, from happiness. So it makes sense that the Torah is only 2/3 of the way telling us that it's out of joy, because it's already mentioned, this is a recurring theme throughout Sefer Dvarim. If you're studying carefully, then you need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of joy. And Kacha, the Arizal said that he got all of his amazing levels of Ruach HaKodesh through throwing brachos with simcha. And many rabbis suggest, what should you focus on in Elul? Just say brachos from joy. Just take that, you know, when you say that Baruch Atah of the on the cornflakes, on the oatmeal squares, mamash feel that you're omed lefnei melech and you're doing it with joy. But a simple kasha, a real life kasha. But sometimes we're in a bad mood. Sometimes we're sad. Like, what do you want from me, Kaddish Baruch Hu? Like, sometimes I wake up and my electric bike is stolen. It's not really fun. Like, how can you blame me for being sad? Like, sometimes bad stuff happens. It's not fair to expect us to always be happy. Right? You hear the Shaila? But yet, all the Hasidic masters always say, Mitzvah Gedolah Liyot B'Simcha, Rabbi Nachman says, and we all know that when we're serving Hashem out of joy, like, our service of Hashem has light, has fire. We can overcome our challenges. When we're sad, we're lazy, we're dragged down. We need to... So what is it? What do we do? Yeah.
Well, I think it's also interpret that not serving God with happiness, or they were, meaning not serving God with happiness, that term could just be interpreted as they were not serving God, and they're happy that they're not serving God.
Ah, fascinating. Interesting. Nice Hasidic shot. I like it. Okay. Any other ideas as to how we can choose happiness when we're not always feeling happy?
Aaron has this idea of like fake to awaken. If, as long as like you just smile and put on a smile every day and be positive, you can come to happiness.
Absolutely. It's true. Actions do have an effect on your interior. That is absolutely true, and I think Aaron's right about that. Any other ideas as to how we can choose happiness even if we're not in the good mood?
Like, it's not that bad. Like,
for sure. Change your perspective. Look in the bigger picture. Look, okay, I lost my electric bike, but I have a house, I have a wife, I have Torah, I have mitzvahs. Okay, in the big picture, I'm a billionaire minus a tiny little bit. For sure. And Bezrat Hashem, my hope is that throughout the year, we'll throw in a little bit of a simcha tip. I actually do like a happiness course. Just every week, we learn different tips about how to be happy based on this theme of the obligation to be happy. And everything you guys are saying is 100% true. We'll focus on them. But this week, I wanted to offer one simple idea. And that is, there's a rabbi named Ram Ras. He was in the 60s. And he says a very important thought. He says that your thoughts are not you. And Rabbi Nachman actually says the same thing very, very often. That thoughts come through us, but they are not us. In other words, there's going to be times when we're going to be down. And that's fine. You're allowed to be down. Down is not depressed. Depressed is Yeush. I hate life. I'm angry. Down is something happened, emotions are going through me, they're going to flow in and out, and I understand that, and that's not the end of the world. But your thoughts are not you. Your thoughts flow through you, and you can choose your disposition. You can choose, right now I'm in a mellow mood, you can choose, right now I'm going to choose to be happy. Okay? That is a fundamental principle of positive psychology, which has been proven through study after study to be true, that a person can have thoughts and can choose to filter away the negative thoughts and choose the happiness. And there are times, and maybe that's not healthy, you just put a name on those negative thoughts. Say, angriness is flowing through me, and that's okay, but don't give in to that. That is not you. And as soon as we can name those thoughts and realize they are not me, then we have the ability to let them flow through us, and then as soon as we're kind of back at neutral, choose happiness. You understand the concept? Yeah.
So you like label them, you say like, oh, this is like anxiety.
Exactly.
For me, I'm not anxiety.
Exactly. This is anxiety. My bike was stolen. It's going to go through. In a day or two, I'll get over it. Right now, I have to go run to a red zone because I'm really late. Something like that. Or I'm not saying, oh, I'm on that level. I'm just saying that if we want to be on the level that the Torah is commanding us to be truly happy, we want to overcome all of our challenges in life, like Rabbi Nachman and all the Hasidic masters say, we need to be happy. And really, that's the most important thing in life, to be happy people. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. So tip for today, Bezrat Hashem, is to try this week to just, whenever our thoughts are going away, name them, say that's not me, and as soon as possible, choose to do actions and of happiness and choose happy thoughts. Amen. Sounds good? Amen. Sounds good. All right, Bezrat Hashem. All right, looks like we still, maybe one last story? Okay, it's a little bit sad, but it's really powerful. I'm not going to tell you the full story. There's actually a movie about it, but I'll tell you like the quick 4-minute video to wet your tongues. So there's a shofar in Yad Vashem. Has anyone ever been to Yad Vashem and seen the shofar? Okay, yeah, you've seen it. So there's one shofar in Yad Vashem. It's the only shofar that was made in the actual concentration camps. How did it get there? So again, Yida Halverson made like a 20-page. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. I'll just give you one little piece of it to inspire us about the beauty of shofar. So this is a Hasidic Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak, skipping me his last name, from Radoisky. And he was known for his amazing songs, his beautiful voice, and his warmth. And he had a student named Moishi, and every time this little boy would pass him, this Rebbe would give him a kiss and give him love. And when Moishe was 27 years old, he found himself in 1943 in a concentration camp, and his parents had been wiped away, and everything he had was lost. There was one thing that he had found, that in his barracks number 14, who was there? His Rebbe. His Rebbe happened to be in the exact same barracks. At first he was really scared. He said, oh my God, my Rebbe's not, I hope the Holocaust hasn't wiped away his neshama, his faith, but no, he still was intact with his faith. His mom was going out to everyone who was around him, and it was sheltering everyone with its love and warmth, his emunah, shlema. And in that, Barak's 14, he turned it into mini Beit Midrash. Every free moment he was learning Torah. Every free moment he snuck tefillin in there. He got everyone to wear tefillin. He was saying Shabbos drushas. And everyone, even if they weren't a chassid before the war, became a chassid of this amazing Rodoysky Rebbe. So there's many stories about his Mesiris Nefesh, how he got beet juice and made it into the four cups for Pesach. And crazy stories of the serious nefesh. So we'll just focus on the shofar. So he goes over to Moshe one day and says, "Moshe, I need you to make me a shofar. Rosh Hashanah is coming. We need something to lift the hearts of our people, to lift it higher, to let it soar." So he says, but Moshe says, "Are you crazy? Like, Moshe, you know what, Rebbe, I'd do anything for you, but just yesterday somebody snuck in a little piece of leather, and they check us every single day, and they were shot dead. And I'm going to sneak in the shofar?" The Rebbe says, "Listen to me, Moshe. Have I been there your whole life?" "Yes. I promise you, if you make this shofar for me, you'll survive." And so Moshe says, "I'd rather die than disappoint the Rebbe." And somehow they sneak in the shofar, and he takes his shofar. He doesn't even know how to make a shofar. He was a metal worker. He doesn't know what. They bribe the Polish guy with a jewel. The Rebbe gave away less money. He takes the shofar. He doesn't know what to do with it. No one has any idea. He just starts experimenting, starts drilling. And what happens in a minute after you're drilling loudly in a Nazi camp? The foreman comes and says, "Jew, what are you doing? What the heck are you doing?" So Maishi's father told him, whenever you have an interrogation, surprise him with the truth. And he says to the Nazi, "Well, I was blowing, I'm making a shofar because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is coming and we need to blow shofar." So, and he's going to die now. The Rebbe's bracha didn't come true. And he says, "Jew, come into this room." And he takes him into the room. And he says, "Jew, you know how much I respect you Jews? I'm a Catholic. And you guys are faithful to your mitzvot. And I'm so amazed by you guys. I'm going to lock the door to a soundproof room. Go make your shofar." And he made the shofar. And that Rosh Hashanah, they had a shofar to blow in the concentration camp. And again, story after story, Mesiris Nefesh and hiding the shofar. It got lost. He searched the globe for 30 years, searching five continents to find that lost shofar. And again, through many miracles, I don't want to steal your time, he found the shofar eventually and donated it to Yad Vashem, where you can still find it. You can mamash go there. Gevalt. So why am I telling you this story? It's about Hashem. We should know the Gemara says that when we're reading, we're blowing the shofar, our second kavanah is to remember. Is to remember Akedat Yitzchak. Is to remember the Mesiris Nefesh. Remember the Mesiris Nefesh. We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, look at your Yidin. Look how precious every mitzvah is. Look how precious every bracha, every kiddush, every shofar, every tefillin. Look at the Mesiris Nefesh of the Jewish people, and have mercy upon us. So Hashem should bless us with love of every mitzvah and simcha in every single mitzvah. And you all have an amazing Shabbos Kodesh. Yeah.